This morning, though, we'll be talking about another thing that Jesus mentioned in the parable or the Sermon on the Mount. We'll look at a number of lessons as we talk about letting our light shine. And this time we'll talk about letting our light shine by being thankful. So other lessons will include, you know, letting our light shine by being honest, by being a peacemaker, by caring and sharing, or by overcoming temptation, not necessarily in that order. And then we'll look at some lessons kind of in a series on the blood of Christ. But probably next week we'll have a lesson dealing with the blood of Christ. We'll alternate back and forth probably between lessons regarding Christ's blood and the value of it and how we can let our light shine. But over in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 14, Jesus said, "We are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house." And then he said in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So he says that we're the light of the world, the phos, the light. Metaphorically, that means we're to be those who are holy and pure. When we are of the kingdom of God, we are to be holy and pure. Light is often represented as a symbol of goodness and uprightness and blessing. And also as the idea of sinless perfection or state of perfection through obedience to the gospel. So Christians who accept and obey the gospel word are viewed as people of light. And so we see where Paul talked about that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. He said we're transferred out of darkness into the marvelous light. And we know that light dispels the darkness of ignorance. We talked about, I read a few statements from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 this morning in our class. But the Christian is to take the light of the gospel to the world and dispel the ignorance of those that need forgiveness of sins by being an example to them. And one who lets the light of the gospel shine bright in their lives, people can see that. And they often can see those who don't. Jesus said it cannot be hid. So when we try to suppress God's word, maybe because we're ashamed of it, that shows up too. But he said in verse 15, "Neither do men light a lamp or a candle and put it under the bushel, but on a stand and give light in all the house." So Jesus reminds his disciples what the function of light is in a house. A simple illustration he uses. He makes a comparison to that function and their function as children of God. So we're to be lights in a dark world. And when one lights a lamp in a house, it is lit to illuminate it. I remember when we went camping a long time ago, Wayne and I went camping, and we had a Coleman lantern, and so we had our lantern all set up, and some family, they pulled in after dark, and I guess it's the first time they've ever been camping because they didn't know how to put their tent up. They didn't know how to start their lantern or anything, so I went over and helped them out. And they were in the dark. They could see our light, so they came over to our light. So I helped him out, and God showed him how to start a Coleman lantern, and you know, the gas you have to pump up and spark it with a spark. And those are kind of tricky sometimes. They don't want to work right, but we finally got it going. And so we saw where those people were in the dark, and we helped them light the light. So we're to go to those in darkness and to help those who need the light. Now, Paul spoke of the gospel as the light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this mystery, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty and walking in craftiness, not handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Let the light of a glorious gospel to shine unto them. I remember in my Navy days, you'd often hear them say over the announcement called the 1MC, where they announce things and everybody on the ship could hear it. They say the smoking lamp is out. It means you couldn't take any light above decks. People couldn't smoke because even a small cigarette can be seen a long ways off in the dark. Then he said in verse 16, even so, let your light shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now what light should shine before men? Well, Jesus calls on his disciples to be the shining light, to let the light of a glorious gospel reveal sin and salvation to the world that's in darkness. So I can let my light shine bright by living a godly life, by teaching the truth, by believing it, by demonstrating that through examples, by my actions. And this invitation shows that we have a life of hope. And our example shines, good or bad. So the objective as a disciple of Christ is to glorify our Father which is in heaven. Through our hearing, believing, repenting, confessing Christ, being baptized for the remission of sins, and then walking worthy of that call and the work we are called. Then think about some other verses. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, he said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So we see a number of places where we have that word thank for, giving thanks. We're to give thanks to God. So we're going to talk about being thankful. And when we and fellowship with God, we should continually be impressed by the spiritual blessings that we enjoy in Christ, as Paul mentioned over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We have all spiritual blessings in Christ. But children of the flesh, and even children of God, can forget and fail to be thankful. We're coming up on Thanksgiving, so we're going to hear a lot about Thanksgiving. But it's not just about Thanksgiving. It's a daily routine, a daily life, and something that we should do all the time. We're to continue in prayer and supplication to God. For the child of God, every day is a day of thanksgiving. Even our pleas and our petitions are to be accompanied by expressions of thanks. With thanksgiving, we're to let our requests be made known unto God, Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 6. And Jesus commended giving of thanks for kindnesses shown and blessings bestowed upon us. When we fail to do that, we're not doing as God would have us to do. So in our text, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul commands and yea demands Christians to be thankful. He said, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So we see that the Word of Christ is to dwell in us richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So we have every reason to be thankful to God. And Paul, when he was in Athens, he made note of the fact that God was the one who gave us all blessings of this life that we have. So we have every reason to be thankful. Paul told the Athenians who had erected all sorts of images and worshiping these images and even had one erected to the unknown God. He said in chapter 17, verse 25, he said, neither in referring to God, the God that made all things. He says, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. So Jesus, Paul, or James said, is the giver of every good and perfect gift. James said in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift, that refers typically to the physical gifts. And every perfect gift are the spiritual blessings. It's from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, the Creator of all things, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We have every reason to be thankful. Are we thankful to God? You ever go a day without giving thanks? You need to think about that. You know, being thankful is right. It's the right thing to do. We ought to be grateful to God. Paul told the saints in Thessalonica, he said, in everything give thanks. Well, this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. So, in everything we're to give thanks. Even when we're going through the roughest time that we could be going through. Remember, Judy Burrell, and I emphasized this first in a previous lesson. She said, the one thing I got out of that lesson is always be thankful, even when it doesn't seem right to be thankful. Even when it's the roughest time of your life, be thankful. Be thankful it's not any worse. Be thankful for God for all things that He's given us. The psalmist said in Psalms 92, verse 1, he said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises to His name, O Most High. Then as we read in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How? By singing psalms and teaching by and admonishing one another by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace or thankfulness in our hearts to the Lord. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, be careful, or don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we're to let God know our needs. He knows them before we ask. We need to plead with Him. And Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 17, our text, he says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatever we say or our actions, we're to do by the Lord's authority, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him through Christ. And Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, this is a continual thing. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We need to watch. So being thankful is good. Not only right, but there are some benefits. Number one, it holds the promises of God's favor. And it has influence on others. When people see you give thanks, that makes an impression on them. When they see you give thanks at a meal, if you're at Panera and you give thanks, people see that. Thankfulness. See, one of the greatest sins is unthankfulness. Ingratitude. It's one of the most common sins we need to be aware of. Sometimes the simplest duties seem to be the hardest to fulfill. And in case in point, Luke chapter 17, where Jesus healed the 10 lepers. Beginning at verse 11, the text says there that it came to pass that as he went to Jerusalem, Jesus did, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed, all 10. The only condition was to go show yourself to the priest. And while they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that heel, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, those lowly Samaritans, you know. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Where are the 9? That's a good question, isn't it? They weren't thankful. This Samaritan, this lowly Samaritan, just looked down upon by Jews. This distasteful, lowly Samaritan, he's the only one that gives thanks. And he said, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger, the Samaritan. Only one came back to give glory to God, the simplest these. If you had a severe illness and you were instantly cleansed, and you put your shoes, yourself in the place of the lepers, you were cleansed of a dreadful disease, leprosy. Well, there's no cure for that. Wouldn't you turn around and give thanks? You'd think they would, but the simplest things, those 9 didn't do. They just went on their way, rejoicing that they were cleansed, not giving thanks to where they, who the source was of their cleansing. What if God took back every blessing which we are not properly thankful for? Where would we be? You ever thought about that? Do we give thanks for the air that we breathe? What if the Lord turned the air off, air supply off for like 1 minute? Can you hold your breath for a minute? Most of you can't do that. I can't. What if he didn't allow the sun to come out for 2 days? Just total darkness for 2 days. It'd get pretty cold, wouldn't it? So give thanks for the simple things. And when I looked at some of the newscasts of Florida, I'm thinking California isn't so bad after all, what they're going through. And when we think about all the trials and the problems in this country, and you look at the people that are suffering in Ukraine, or even to get more to the point, when I look at pictures from the Philippines where people are worshiping on a bench and no air conditioning building, on just a hard bench, no air conditioning, no padded shoes, in a humid atmosphere, and I've been there, I know what it's like. And people complain here in the United States when the preacher goes like over 20 minutes. Shame on you if you do that. Tell you ashamed yourself. So what if God took away blessings we're not properly grateful for? What would we have left? You ever thought about that? Now James said he gives every good gift and every perfect gift from above him. He cometh down from the Father of life, with whom there's no variable, neither shadow of turning. So he's given us Jesus, the greatest gift. Many are not thankful. Some of our own brethren are not thankful for that. Ingratitude. That's a deadly sin. It's a deadly sin. There's no sin greater probably than ingratitude. You know, God has never looked lightly on a complaint. Over in Numbers chapter 21, we see where the children of Israel were in the wilderness. And beginning at verse 5 of Numbers chapter 21, the text says there, and the people spoke against God and against Moses, wherefore ye have brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. The manna that he gave them from heaven. They complained about that. They griped and whined about it. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Light bread. Now, that's a term that I remember when my days in Arkansas. I'm reminded of a story where a fellow asked some individual Some old country boy says that, do you remember the time, first time you saw light bread? It's just white bread, you know, wonder bread. Soft slice, night and even. And he says, yeah, I remember the first piece I ever had to go, well, how'd you eat it? Because I put it between two pieces of cornbread and ate it. It was like steak to him. Light bread. All the slices are nice and even white, just plain old bread. It's called light bread. And I think about that one. They loathed that light bread, that manna that God had given them. They complained about it. So sometimes ingratitude can be the result of not remembering of what it was like to be without. We read on further down over in Deuteronomy. We see there's a link between being prosperous and unthankful. Now as we've been a very prosperous nation here the last 20 years, you know, the membership and most religions have gone down because people just forget about God altogether because they're enjoying life. As we read over in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, Moses said, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe and do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, to feed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. And Jesus quoted that passage when he was tried, didn't he? As we read on further down, verse 7 now. The text is there, for the Lord thy God brought thee into a good land, and a land of brooks of water, fountains and depths that sprang out of valleys and hills, and a land of wheat, barley and figs and vines and trees and pomegranates, and the land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware, he said, that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee to say, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell in them, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and forget the Lord thy God hath brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Don't you forget that. They're constantly reminded of the God that brought them out of the land of Egypt. They still complained about it, didn't they? He said, who fed thee with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at the latter end, that thou say in the heart, my power and my might of mine hand have got me this wealth. No, it was the Lord that gave you the wealth. If thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he might establish this covenant which he sware to thy father as it is in this day. You know that they complained because of this light bread. The Lord sent fiery serpents. He bit the people. Moses, they complained about that. And Moses was told by God to erect a serpent on a pole, and if they looked upon it, they would live if they were bitten. Over in Numbers chapter 21, you see where they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt, dying to wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is any water, and our soul loves this light bread, they said. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord, and against thee, praying the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, that he, when he beheld the serpent, he lived. He didn't even abuse that. So, the result of the people murmuring, God sent these fiery serpents. The people cried. They cried out for mercy, confessing their sins, and Moses prayed on their behalf. But after this, we'd think that they never looked at that snake anymore. No, but they, in the days of Hezekiah broke into pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made, for into those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. That is a piece of brass. There's nothing that piece of brass could do. It was all in God's power. Meaning a piece of brass. In other words, he was saying it was worthless. It was just a piece of brass having no power of any kind. And Hezekiah's action reminds us of just how God uses something sometimes and does not mean he will continue to use that object forever. For example, the flood came. The ark was used to save Noah and his household, but was no longer used. The ark of the covenant, the tabernacle, were uses and served their purpose. Once God is done with something, it's not necessarily meaning that man can use it, continue to use it in any way he chooses. See, what was once a blessing, this fiery serpent became a curse. Because they worshipped the serpent. They burnt incense to it. Nehushtan is what Hezekiah called it. So we see where they were unthankful. When we're unthankful, we can experience some things. So an example, a sure way to spoil a child is to give them everything they want. They'll develop an entitlement attitude. We see that in our society today. People not at all thankful for what they have. But ingratitude is painful. Especially within a family. When your children don't express gratitude or thankfulness for what you've done for them, that's painful to the parents. What about God's family? Think about Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 11, we see where the text says that he came to his own received him not. Now Jesus was the light, the true light. The world refused him. They rejected him. And his own Jewish brethren rejected him, even to the point of them crucifying Jesus. No thankfulness in that. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus depicts this situation. He says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing they shall hear and shall not understand, seeing they shall see and shall not perceive. He said, for this people's heart is waxed gross or grown dull, like those in Hebrews 5. They are dull of hearing, and their eyes, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, I should be converted and I should heal them. They had hardened hearts. They were unthankful. So ingratitude is not only sinful, but is the root of many other sins and the first step towards rejecting God, and it indicates depravity of depraved mind. You know that? Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, he said, because that when they knew not God, he's speaking to the Gentiles, he said, that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And they were involved in all sorts of depraved activity, homosexuality and lesbianism and you name it. Just remember, thanks, unthankfulness indicates a step towards depravity. So we need to literally count our blessings. We sing the song, One to Find Life's Bills, number 742. Everybody turn your book to that song. 742. When we look at this song, we see where we need to think about the words of the song. Sometimes I think we sing songs and just be singing, but don't give thought to the word. But when we're going through life's billows, we're tossed and we're tempted and we're discouraged, thinking all is lost. He said, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. In verse 2 says, are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy? You're called to bear. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And he said, every doubt will fly and you will be seen as the days go by. Then verse 3 says, so amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, or angels will attend and help them comfort give you so your journey's in. So we're to count our blessings. Literally sometimes. I don't think we can count them all. Just so many. We don't realize. You know, I mentioned this before that when I was in the hospital, I realized that I was blessed by things I'd never even thought about before. That was the medical technology that kept me going. And all the contraptions they used, and they had needles going in me and tubes coming out and going in, and Tim went through a similar thing, and others have, and you know, the medical technology is kind of beyond description. And I didn't realize it until I needed it. So we need to count blessings. Sometimes we don't realize, because unthankfulness is something we need to express, or thankfulness is something we need to express, and unthankfulness is a sinful thing. It's painful. It's a sign of depravity, as I mentioned. But as we think about thankfulness, you know, thanksgiving to God involves the following: the fruit of our lips, you know, and in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it involves the fruit of our lips, and it's a sacrifice of praise to God. Paul says there, he said, by him, therefore, let us offer sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks. We're to be doing this continually. Paul told the those in Thessalonica to pray without ceasing. Make that a continual practice. Because through Christ, through him, let us offer up these sacrifices and praise God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, so that we can communicate and share and not forget the blessings that we enjoy and where they came from. So it's through Christ that man is afforded the opportunity of the greatest blessing, that is for the forgiveness of sins, and through him we can thereby be accountable, sacrifice of praise to God, and be forgiven of sins when we commit sin. To be forgiven of sins is to have that blessing that we sometimes may take lightly. We shouldn't. So we need to confess the name of Jesus as to abide in this doctrine, and remember that we cannot depart from this doctrine. You know, praising God is not only done by the lips, but through the words or actions of our lives. Our faith is thereby enforced or evidenced by our actions. God is pleased with those who do good as opposed to those who say and do not. Then as we think about this expression, your unexpressed gratitude is ingratitude. You know, God is gracious to each one of us. and grace us so that it can be in vain if we do not properly utilize our blessings. We don't recognize those. We have to receive them. We have to appreciate those blessings. We have to express our gratitude for it. Because if we don't, it's all in vain. And Paul used this term over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. He said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." He said, "And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. He said, "It was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." So Paul, realizing his great sin of crucifying Christians, I think that's what drove him. He tried to make up if he could. Do all he could to offset the evil he had inflicted upon his own brethren. Now, and now he's tempted. And now he's tried. And now he's going through these afflictions. I'm happy to do so. See the effect of thankfulness. Now, being thankful is one way we can let our light shine. This can have a powerful influence on those around us. Expressing our gratitude can mean expressing our gratitude to God for His blessings, especially for all the spiritual blessings, especially salvation. Expressing our gratitude for others and for their kindnesses that are shown to us at times. We need to be always thankful. So as we think about the effects of thankfulness, it also means reflecting to others our thanks for God's blessings. Over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments shall teach men to do so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall do and teach them the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." His disciples were arguing about who was greatest and who's the greatest and so on. He says there's no greater thing that you can do than be obedient, keep the commandments of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 105, verse 1 and 2, he says, "Oh, give thanks, O Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye all His wondrous works." Teach others. Then Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "For ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." So which are not a people, but now are people. So we can set a good example by saying thanks before a meal. Remember Paul when he was on the ship going to Rome? A severe storm, they hadn't eaten in a while, and Paul encouraged the men to eat because they're going to need the strength of the food that they're going to eat, and Paul prayed before he ate. So when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And he broke it and began to eat. Just us giving God thanks when we have a meal in a public place or at home, as an example to others. You know, it can be shown by, and we can realize that giving thanks gives peace of mind and shows our gratitude for what is right. It diminishes worry about the trials of life. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, he says, "Be careful," or "don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, giving thanks with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." What will happen if we do? Next verse. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We can draw others to God by showing our thanks for being a Christian, and by showing thankfulness for our faithful brethren. John said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, but it knew Him not, because it knew Him not." So He gives thankfulness for His brethren. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you when he was talking about and writing to his brethren in Philippi. Then we can draw others to God by showing real thanks, by giving thanks for our spiritual blessings in Christ. And Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So in conclusion, genuine thankfulness is a potent element. It's a potent influence for good because it is so rare and unexpected. Remember Daniel. We can let our light shine like Daniel did by being openly grateful to our God for his grace. Remember that the men, they wanted to catch Daniel and they went to Darius and they encouraged Darius to sign a decree that if any were found in the third day period worshiping any other king or any other man other than the king, that he'd be thrown in the lion's den. He said, establish a royal statute and make it a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. That's what their decree was. And they put that up to Darius. He signed it. What did Daniel do? Notice, verse 10. Daniel 6, verse 10. So now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He didn't let that stop him. See, this was a test to Daniel. It was a test to those men. It was a test to King Darius. Because the man came back and reported that they had caught Daniel praying. He violated this decree he signed. Now what are you going to do, King? You going to go through with it? He did. He was reluctant to do it. So then these men, those that conspired against Daniel, they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spoke before the king concerning the king's decree. He said, hast thou not signed the decree that every man that should ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, should be cast into the den of lions? The king said, answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. So they couldn't change it. Then answered they and said before the king, he said, that Daniel, which was one of the children of the captivity of Judah, regard thee not, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these things, he was not wroth with Daniel. The text says he was sore displeased with himself for signing that. He set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He labored all till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, King, or know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. And the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the lion's den. And now the king spake and said to Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver you. And the stone was brought and put over the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his Lord with a purpose, that the purpose might be changed concerning, that might not be changed concerning Daniel. The king went to his palace and he passed the night fasting. Either were instruments of music brought in before him, and his sleep went from him. He tossed and turned all night about that. Never did that? Worried about something? Tossed and turned all night, couldn't go to sleep. Turn on the TV and that doesn't help. Nothing you try to help to go to sleep or go to put you to sleep. And he rose early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came into the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. The king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in him, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. And the king was exceedingly glad. And he had and wrote a decree to have those men that put him in the lion's den, put in the lion's den themselves with their families, and the lions demolished them. They ate them. Daniel had lion's face, you might say. He prayed to God openly. He prayed so everybody would know he was praying. That didn't deter him. So when we do that, and also make a habit of expressing gratitude to others for what they do, and we show gratitude ourselves to God, we'll be amazed at the results sometimes that brings to us. Blessed is yours, if any way, subject to the Lord's invitation, we urge you. Let your light shine by being thankful. We'll look at other points regarding light, shining light, or letting our light shine, but you need to remember, you know, that Christians, in order to bask in God's light, must come out of the darkness into the light by being obedient to the gospel and hearing the gospel, believing and repenting of your sins, and confessing your faith in Christ and being baptized to have your sins washed away. And we, as Aaron's children of God, when we err and do things that are not in harmony with God's will, we need to repent and pray for forgiveness. Go to that throne of grace in time of need, as the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 4. And endure the trials and be faithful and pray. Give thanks in all things. The blessing is yours. If you're in any way subject to the Lord's invitation, urge you to come as together and stand and sing.